welcome to Tea and Strumpets, a Regency romance review. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Kelsey.
And when Kelsey and I were talking about our schedule with all the books that we were going to be doing, we knew that during this time period, we had a lot going on. So we thought, okay, let's find an awesome novella to read because we haven't done a novella in a while. And then both of us were like, well, how about a Tessa Dare? It's been a long time since we've done a Tessa Dare. And then we chose this one. And then both of us realized this is the third Tessa Dare novella we've done on the podcast.
Apparently, we just really like to read Tessa Dare novellas on the podcast. But I feel like a lot of it's because a lot of you have read Tessa Dare. You know, she's a very popular author. And so, you know, for us, there's a lot of other books to cover. And as much as we love Tessa Dare, I think we just don't always gravitate towards that because I think everybody reads it. I don't know. Why do we only pick the novellas? I don't really know.
Well, I have a theory. I think we pick her novellas because, like, when you're like, I know I need a good novella, and you just
good book, but I don't have a lot of time.
Yeah. And you know you're going to get that with Tessa Dare. Like, you just know it. You don't even have to have read it before. You know it. Although I had read this one before at some point. So
I last read it in 2016, so it's been a long time.
Having those digital e-readers are like, it's really nice to actually have that, or your Goodreads, to be able to see when you read something. I think that's so fun. I don't know when I read it, but it's been a while. And the book we are talking about today is the fabulously titled The Scandalous, Dissolute, No Good Mr. Right.
Wow, that's almost as long as the book. Have I been waiting on that joke this whole time? Absolutely. Anyway, so we did decide, though, as far as, you know, usually we have an author fact or a history fact. There weren't really any necessarily history facts that we haven't gone over. There's discussion of the war with Napoleon, but we've talked about that. People know about that. So we thought it would be fun to give you, in her own words, the best place to start when it comes to Tessa Dare books. On her website, she has an FAQ, and it said, there's the question of, if I'm new to your books, where should I start? So Tessa says, my honest answer is, start with whichever book is in your hand or on the library shelf or discounted at the moment. I'm just happy for you to read any of them. I try my best to make sure every book can be read on its own. However, I know many readers prefer to start with the first in a series. If that describes you, I recommend The Duchess Deal, Girl Meets Duke, Romancing the Duke, Castles Ever After, A Knight to Surrender, Spindle Cove, A Week to Be Wicked, which is technically book two in the Spindle Cove series, but it tends to be a reader favorite and you won't be lost if you start with it. If you're looking for something short and sweet to try out my writing, here is a few shorter works that stand alone. The Scandalous, Dissolute, No Good Mr. Right, Today's Book.
Oh, who?
And When She Was Naughty, A Christmas Short Story.
Listeners, if you've never read a Tessa Dare, then hopefully you'll pick up this one, especially after we talk about it today.
Yes. And speaking of today, we have some tropes for today. I did my best with these. So we have there is an age gap. It's about 10 years-ish, I think.
I think it might be closer to 8, but they're definitely at like different. He meets her when she's 17.
18.
And he's 18 and he's, you know, in his
late 20s.
So yeah. There's definitely like they're at different life stages for sure.
I would say there are kindred spirits.
Yes.
And I said Raken the Virgin, but it's more like Scandalous Reputation and the Debutante.
Yes, I think that that is well described. And that Scandalous Reputation belongs to our main character, Mr. J. Harrison Harry Wright, and Miss Elizabeth Eliza Cade. Do we ever find out what the J stands for?
Nope. No idea. I'm assuming John. I feel like that's the only thing you'd just shorten there. You'd be like, yeah. John Harrison. So J. I'm assuming it's John.
Interesting. It could be James, but I think you're right with John.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so. This is just now I'm just realizing things. But shall we get into it?
We shall. 18-year-old Eliza Cade wishes she could join her sisters as a debutante of the ton, but due to an incident at 14, she is not permitted to be out until all her sisters marry. She has just been complaining of this to her sister Georgie as she spies on her eldest sister's engagement ball. Quote, "This is the year my bosom's finally arrived, and now he'll never notice. Eliza, I would think you'd rather be noticed by your lively personality." "Yes, you would think that," she replied. "I'm not you."
It is after her sister leaves that she finds that they were not alone in the morning room. Turns out that Mr. Wright, the ton's most scandalous future duke, was there the whole time. Upon meeting Eliza, Harry is struck by how similar they are, and he tells her so, quote, "He said, 'It's not so bad, you know. Just walk on, ignore him. He's only teasing, baiting, hoping you'll ask.' 'What isn't?' she asked. 'Eliza, you fool. Being us.' 'Us? I can't imagine what you mean.' He tamed a stray wisp of her hair. 'I mean, there are two kinds of people in this world, Eliza. Those who are good and those who are interesting. You're young yet, but you'll see in time. It's not so bad being on this side.'"
He flirts with her a bit, but only so that he can keep her from being seen leaving a room with him by the woman he was actually supposed to meet in the morning room, saving her from scandal. Eliza, thinking he would kiss her, is embarrassed by the encounter when he tells her no, he's not going to kiss her, and decides he is just as the rumors portray.
A year later, they find each other again, this time at the country house of their eldest sister who is expecting. Eliza is still not out and is waiting for her sister Philippa to find a beau. She thinks Philippa would be a great match for Harry's friend, but he tells her it would be a horrible match. They bicker and flirt, and all the time Harry is trying to tell Eliza she is special and different, but she is still too young to hear it.
After an enjoyable summer constantly being thrown together, inevitably they part, but this time they do briefly kiss. Now, almost 2 years later, they meet again at Philippa's daughter's christening. Is it 2 years or 1 year? 16 months, almost 2 years. Sorry, guys. All these chapters are not numbers. They're just like a title with a date somehow attached to it. So we're trying to get the timeline in here.
Yes. A while later, that is more than a year and less than two.
Eliza finds Harry is to be the godfather of Philippa's daughter and is shocked by her sister's poor choice. However, she soon learns that no good Mr. Wright is actually not so bad as the gossips suspect and is in fact really very caring by nature and has just decided to live with the choices he has made in the past instead of trying to change society's mind.
This time they part as friends, and there is hope that more will come. However, Harry knows Eliza has been waiting and waiting for her come out, longer than any lady normally must, and he knows how important it is for her, so he does not want to tie her down before she has that opportunity.
Another few months pass, and Harry has an invitation to Eliza's debut. He honestly does not know if he can go. To watch her success would be marvelous, but he does not know if he can watch her flirt and be courted by the younger men.
Then disaster strikes. Her sister Georgie's fiancé is killed on his way back to England from fighting France, meaning not only great tragedy for Georgie, but also no come out for Eliza as they have to go into mourning. Harry runs to comfort her.
Under the awning of this horrific event, they continue building the connection, with Harry comforting and telling her that it's okay to mourn her loss as well as Georgie's. He also tells her that he is going to war. Eliza's heartbroken, Harry is leaving and tells him if he is potentially going to die, she wants one night in his arms. Quote, "You're right. There are many reasons why this would be a bad idea, but I can think of one reason why we ought to go through with it anyway. What's that? We might never have another chance." Her blue eyes met his. "I don't want to spend my whole life wondering what might have been."
So we have our encounter, and then they part with no promises. 2 years later, a wedding is waiting on the bride. Eliza is standing in the vestibule with the bouquet when Harry bursts through the doors and tells her not to do it. Quote, his eyes flashed with anger and hurt. "This is a wedding. What happened to, 'I'll wait for you, Harry'? What happened to, 'Don't wait for me, Eliza'?" She stared at him, wide eyes with amazement. "You told me you'd never marry me. You said we had no future." "Yes, but you weren't supposed to believe me. In all the years of our acquaintance, when have I ever given you cause to believe a word I say?"
Chuckling, Eliza tells Harry this is not her wedding, and she did, in fact, wait for him. He tells her that he does not want her to sacrifice her come out, but does not want to wait to marry her. She tells him she'll settle for a big wedding instead of a debut ball. The end.
Oh, such a fun novella, and I can't wait to discuss it with you. But first, shall we adjourn to the parlor?
We shall.
So if you'd like to find us on social media, you can find us on any platform we're on at T as in Tom, N as in Nancy Strumpets. And if you can't find us, then we're not on there.
And if you're listening to us on YouTube, now is a great time to click that thumbs up and hit subscribe before you forget. Liking and commenting on our videos and subscribing to our channel is a really wonderful way to let us know that you like what we're doing.
Finally, rate, review, and tell a friend. Reviews on Apple Podcasts, Facebook, or anywhere else you can review us really help other listeners find the podcast. And word of mouth is also one of the best ways that podcasts get found. So if you like what you're hearing, we'd love it if you spread the word. All right. So this one, I thought the best word to describe this was clever.
Yes, I thought it was really clever. It was, I will say, when it first started, I was a little concerned.
Me too.
I was a little concerned. I was like, I don't remember this book. I didn't remember anything of it. And I was reading it and I was like, is this man? He starts and he's kind of being flirtatious and rakish. And she's, oh no, I know who this is. Like, he has the worst reputation. And you know, you full on think that he's going to be like, okay, fine, and like make something happen right away, but he doesn't. In fact, when she's like, are you going to kiss me now? And he's like, you're actually a little too young for me.
Yeah. Like,
I was like, oh, good.
I also immediately didn't like Eliza. Like, she's just kind of irritating. You know, she's just a child. And when you're first reading that, you're like, I am not rooting for this girl yet. But that's what's so great about this novel, because Tessa Dare really does such an incredible like character development exercise in this, because Eliza like starts as kind of this like impulsive, bratty almost a little bit, but still like very kind and loving to her sisters and like supportive. But like she is a caged bird and she just wants to fly. And Harry sees that in her. Like, he sees so much about her spirit. And then, like, Tessa Dare just does a great job of writing her immaturity and then having her see her faults and see where she, you know, was mistaken and grow from that and then grow up and become a better person, but also just like a wiser person. And I thought it was, for especially for a novella, again, very clever, really great.
I did think it was really clever. And I think that the structure of it was really great, because there is this age gap. And as we've talked about before, it's so hard to, you know, kind of establish these characters in such a short period of time and really have that development, as we always talk about, to where you're rooting for them. But I think she did a really good job. It was very cleverly done. As we mentioned, each chapter is like a different event. And so like a year passes or 6 months pass or even just a week passes. So you get these little snippets, but it's all their interactions, because even though they interact over the years, they don't interact constantly. Because she's not out, she wouldn't see him.
It's also pretty great. Like, it's literally just the snippets of these two meeting and growing together. Mm-hmm. And you get like a like because there's a passage of time in between, like their growth can be so much more exponential. And you can you can understand when you meet the character each time, they are slightly different. They're already slightly different because mm-hmm. they are a year older and they've had a year of things happen to them. And so like I just think it was really effective. And like there was no like nobody they had to foil, no anything they had to do. They just literally had to bide their time, get to know each other and, you know, grow together. And then they got to be together. I mean, it's really great. It's such a cool novella.
Mm-hmm, I agree. And I really did love the, you know, he is older than she is. He's just in a different place. And yet he's kind of a guiding person. Like he helps her development, but not by forcing it and by looking at her the whole time. It's more like, accept who you are. It's okay for you to be a selfish person because she's selfish because she wants her sisters to marry so she can have her debut. That's the whole thing. And he's like, you're selfish. And she's like, how dare you? And he's like, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Just acknowledge the parts of yourself that are who you are and like you'll be better because of it, you know?
Well, and it's interesting because she was so selfless in the whole reason that she is not able to come out is because she was selfless. Mm-hmm. She her friend was the vicar's son and he told people they were tumbling each other in a hayloft, but she didn't know that's what he was saying. But so when she was called into her father's office, he said, Timothy's been saying things, and she said, oh, whatever he's saying is true, because she was
worried, you know, about him getting in trouble. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the interesting kind of like dichotomy of her personality. And so I think what Harry is saying is like, it's okay to also want things for yourself and to be selfish. Mm-hmm. You aren't a selfish person at the core. You've already shown that. Like you can want things for yourself and also have empathy for others. Like,
yeah. Well, and I love the fact too that like you see Harry, he's like looking at the invitation to her debut and like is like, oh, you know, she's been waiting so long for this. I don't think I can go. You know, at this point, he's starting to care for her and have real feelings for her, but he's been waiting for her to have the moment. He doesn't want to, you know, cause her not to have it by showing interest in her beforehand. Like he could court her and they could, you know, get married before she's even out, but he doesn't want to do that because he knows how important this is to her. But then he sees that her sister's fiance was killed on the way back from France. And so he runs to her and she's like, oh, well, the family's here. He's like, I'm here for you. She's like, but I didn't lose anyone. He's like, you're allowed to be sad though, because now you don't have your come out. Like you're allowed to mourn this. This is okay. And she does. And he's like the one that really understands why this tragedy, yes, it is her sister's and she wants to support her sister, but it's a personal tragedy for her too. And he's the only one that sees it.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, I think that that is also just like a really, I think that's a really good lesson to impart, which is that, you know, we're all allowed to feel our feelings in the moment. And, mm-hmm. you know, just because something else is maybe more of like a life altering event doesn't mean what you're feeling about it is valid. Like, I guess it just boils down to the validity of your own feelings. They are true and they are valid and everybody should get to feel how they want to feel. All right. But we are babbling quite a bit. At least I feel like I am. So let's get to our hero and heroine opinion/rating. I'm looking at our template here and I'm like, when did we write that? But I guess we do talk about our opinions. We've talked a lot already about our hero and heroine. I feel ready to give them a rating.
I feel ready too.
So I think they're both really interesting. I, at the beginning of the book, I feel like they're like sixes. I don't really like them that much, mm-hmm. but they have such a great curve. Like, I think they're both eights.
That's fair. I'm going to rate them a bit higher. I'm going to say 8.5, almost a 9.
I don't disagree. I think that I still, by the end of it, didn't like love them, which is what tips me into the 9 range. But like, mm-hmm. they're brilliant. So I really like them. Great ratings.
Yeah. No, I think that they, for me, I think that they really like came through. I just loved seeing the their interactions and their growth. Like, I really enjoyed the who they were and like their histories and their stories and how they, you know, shaped together. I really liked that. And I liked seeing the maturity of their interactions as they kept meeting.
Yes. And they just had such delightful banter, which rolls, I think, pretty nicely into our favorite quote. Are we just going to have a quote off? Because I've got like six that I literally could not. Oh my God,
I have so many. Like, I actually even went, like, it was funny because when I was writing the notes, I actually like wrote in insert quote about this here. And I didn't even have them highlighted, but I knew there was a good one in the book. So yes. I was like, I'll find it real. And it's short. I can find it really easily.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, shall we just go back and forth until we feel like we can stop?
Yeah. Sounds like a great plan.
Okay. So this one is just somewhere about in the middle. And they're talking to each other. What is it, sweetling? Are you ill? No, I'm endeavoring to keep my temper. Someone advised that it helps to pause, draw a deep breath, and count to three. Ah, he said. And how is the strategy working? It's not working at all. She lifted her head, and her blue eyes burned with reflected torchlight. I'm up to 27 now and still infuriated. He smiled. Well, consider who you're dealing with. I expect you'll need to count into the thousands for me. You might as well let me have your anger. Don't worry. I can take it.
So my quote, my first quote, I should say first, let's preface that, is when he first meets her. So at the end, I already shared the quote about interesting people versus good people.
Such a good quote.
And so he sees her and they are making their way back to the house together. He's a little sad. So he thought they'd gotten her too. Seeing as how she alone had escaped the hedgerow of doom, he'd thought perhaps Eliza Cade hadn't succumbed to the plague of blandness that seemed to claim every Englishwoman by the age of 20 or so. An unreasoned surge of anger swelled in his breast. Not anger at her, precisely. Just anger at society that would suffer nothing truly wild to last. Beauty must be capped with ugly bonnets. Hedges must be shaped and trimmed. The world must be colonized. Motherless rogues must inherit dukedoms. Tigresses must be tamed.
Yes, I had that one highlighted too. Perfect. I was like, we've got to have some overlap for sure.
I'm sure.
Well, here's a clever one. Yeah?
I was going to say, but do you have the one after that there where she shows him that she's not quite as tame as he initially thought again?
I don't think I do right there because my next one's page 30. So
Okay. Well, mine's like right after.
All right.
Faster. His every muscle, every nerve drew tight. The horses sensed it too, and faster they went. Off the dratted bonnet flew, spiraling into the wind. She made no attempt to catch it. He turned and was momentarily dazzled by the way the sunlight bounced off her honey gold hair. Shall I turn back for it? Don't you dare. To his sly look, she replied, my sister needs immediate attention. Yes, of course. How good of you to sacrifice propriety so selflessly, to urge me to hurry, all for the good of your sister. She turned away, but she couldn't hide the hint of a smile, not without that bonnet. For his part, Harry openly grinned. Perhaps this corner of England retained a bit of wildness after all.
Yes, I loved all the bonnet nonsense. We didn't talk about it in our synopsis, but she has this terrible bonnet and it's fabulous. And you just heard it fly off.
Yes.
All right. I have a clever one now later on in the book. Mm-hmm. This is Harry. So this is Harry. You have to ask. And here I thought you knew all about me. I have my suspicions. Suspicions? She gave him a coy look. It's a funny thing about suspicions, Mr. Wright. All too often, they're just vain hopes in disguise. I really liked that. I thought that was a clever turn of phrase. And then I have kind of another in like a similar, I don't know, feeling. They're talking about their encounter. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about like her potentially getting pregnant. I actually really liked this. I don't think I've seen somebody else write it like this. And I find that to be an interesting way of writing it. So, quote, he broke off because risk felt like the wrong word here. With other women, he took the risk of getting them with child. With Eliza, it would feel more like a chance, a happy chance. Though he could not expressly wish for that outcome, he could not pretend he'd be displeased. Ah, if only. And I thought that that was just delightful.
That really was. Okay, I've got one longer one and two short ones. And one of them is only there because I had to laugh because there was... Anyway, I'll explain it later. Yeah. And then also that just had a good vocab word in it.
All right. Yeah, let's just try to wrap these up. I've got one more too, but I want to try to snappy the rest.
It's okay. The next two are real snappy. Don't worry. This one is a serious one. You asked what I want of you, Miss Eliza. It's just this. He came to stand before her. I want you to know that there's someone who sees you. The real you. The girl who can't bring herself to plait her hair at night because it pains her vanity. The girl who'd marry her sisters to tinkers and tailors if it meant she could finally have a chance. The girl who longs to drive fast and free, to feel the sun on her face and the wind in her hair. The girl who's clever enough to recognize a dangerous man when she sees one, but desperately wants her to kiss him, but desperately wants him to kiss her anyway. Yeah. Okay, quick ones. I just have to laugh because earlier in the book, there's another character who's constantly making weird innuendos that aren't innuendos, and Eliza is very confused. And then Tessa Dare wrote an innuendo into her book, which I just found hilarious. So I was like, you know what I mean? And it's, I can't stand this, she said, tugging on the rumpled fabric. Every time I see you, I want to put this straight. I want to put this straight. His cravat wasn't the only thing she was putting straight.
Hey yo.
And then the last one is just I don't even need to read it. I'm just gonna give you a vocab word. It is it's corpuscle. And it's in the turn of he desired Elizabeth Cade with every corpuscle of his lusting, aching body. I was like, ooh, new word.
Ooh, and what does it mean?
It means it's a noun, and it means a minute body or cell in an organism, especially a red or white blood cell. So like minute body organism.
Aw.
So every cell in his body.
Well, my last quote is pretty much one of the last lines of the book. He teased her lips with gentle kisses. I'll wait to marry you, but I won't wait long. I've been waiting years already. Eliza understood with all her heart. She'd been waiting years, too. I told you I wanted a wedding day of my own. She caressed his cheek. But that doesn't have to mean a long wait. I believe it's a different day tomorrow.
I love it.
All righty. Well, after that quote off, let's talk about our steaminess rating and encounter counter.
There was one epic encounter.
Nice cup of tea.
Yeah, nice cup of tea. No issues there.
Yep, agreed. Definitely very feminist, this book. I mean, we've already sort of talked about it with Harry's like empowerment of her accepting her feelings, being able to talk about things, seeing her for who she is, liking her for who she is, encouraging her to be who she is. And also like her relationship with her sisters is good. Even though, like, she could have been mad at her sisters, she never blamed them and she never, like, pushed them in the wrong directions. Like, she didn't do anything in, like, with bad intentions. Like, everything was always
no, her sisters were her sisters and she never resented them or anything like that. And in fact, her sisters never resented her. In fact, they felt bad for her. They thought it was silly that she couldn't be out, you know, that her father was dictating this. And even Georgie was the one when Eliza was sad that Philippa had was going to marry the wrong person. And her sister's like, well, no, because I'm secretly betrothed. So this is good for you because Philippa's already married. And then I just have to get married. And now we can officially announce it. And so you're one step closer, girl. And I just love it, too, because there was just that sisterly camaraderie that was there.
Absolutely. So final book rating. What would you rate this book?
I'm going to rate this a 9. I thought it was just this cute little crumpet of like warm, cozy feelings.
I agree. I think that this book is so great. And I really love the character development exercise that it is. I think it's a really special little novella. Mm-hmm. I feel like for that, it deserves a 10. I don't think that that I should want anything more out of it than I get. Oh, maybe. My personal love of it is like an 8.5. But
then that's fine.
Yeah. So I guess I'll go somewhere in between there and go with a 9 because it's really good. It's a good book.
It's really good. And that's my thing too, is it's like, you know, will I probably forget this? Yes.
Yes.
But did I love every second of it? And was it absolutely everything I needed? And did I need, was I left wanting more? No.
Nope. Nope.
I was like, this is a perfect little capsule of a book and it did everything I needed it to do. And it
gobbled
made me,
it up.
And I gobbled it up. Exactly. And so I read it like very easily in a few hours.
Yep. I'm so glad we chose another Tessa Dare novella.
Yeah. Maybe one day we'll get to a full length book.
Definitely. I have a feeling that when The Bride Bet finally does come out, we may have to do it on the show just because we've been
only
circling
been talking
around
about it. Yeah.
For a long time. But who knows? No promises. And we're certainly not reading it next time. So what are we reading next time?
Next time, we are reading a new release, well, new-ish release. We are reading Something Spectacular by Alexis Hall.
Yes, it is going to be June, and June is Pride Month. So we're going to be reading a couple LGBTQ selections during Pride Month, and this is the first of those. So I'm really excited. I've already started the book. I've only met one of our main characters, and I'm really excited to now like meet the second main character. So I look forward to talking about that book with you soon.
I look forward to talking about it with you as well.
All right. Well, thank you, listeners, so much for listening. And join us next time as we read Something Spectacular by Alexis Hall.
And may all your ever afters end happily.